Hey folks, welcome to the Hang Your Own Hang podcast, a monthly podcast about hammocks, hammock camping, and everything related. Our goal here is to enlighten you if you're a ground dweller and to entertain you if you're already a tree dweller. I'm Jonathan Kupel.
And I'm Mark Baldwin.
Hey Mark, how's it going?
Good, good. How you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing really good. It's kind of weird. We're recording in the evening. It's still light outside because it happens to be the summer solstice. Hike naked day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot to get out, stripped down.
Yeah. Thank God. Some things you can't unsee, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, what can you do?
Be proud, man. Be proud.
Yep. Yep. No shame here.
So today's interview is actually going to be a lot of fun. We talked about it a little bit before, but we've got a couple, John and Kathy Pennell. John's a little bit more active on the forums and stuff. I've been looking forward to this for a while just because it's an opportunity to talk to kind of a couple that are sharing the hiking experience.
Yeah, it's great to see getting both points of view from the husband and from the wife. And just to get their points of view on just being outdoors and the challenges and each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get started. Again, Mark, to recap, we've got with us John and Kathy Pennell. I'd like to just take a couple minutes to introduce the two of them before we start the regular interview of the podcast. So I think some of our guests may recognize John as John's Pen, who is fairly active on the hammock forums and actually has become more active on running his own YouTube channel, doing how-tos and that type of thing. John, welcome.
Thank you.
And Kathy Pennell, John's wife, who I think is less active on the hammock forums, but is very active in backpacking and camping as well, right?
That is correct.
Awesome. So just a little bit of background from each of you before we start with the regular interview. John, you mentioned, I saw in your website, when you were talking about yourself, you were formerly in the Marines, and then you went on to continue work after that in security and that type of thing?
Once I got out of the Marine Corps, I did a short time as a security guard for apartment complex, office buildings, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then I moved into the building maintenance field, HVAC, things like that. I'm not doing any of that right now. I'm sort of staying at home, enjoying my time at home, keeping up with my grandson. He's 2 years old now, so that's a lot of fun. And I'm just sort of considering my options at this point. So,
got it. Well, taking care of the next generation is an amazing career choice.
It's a lot of fun, I'll tell you that right now.
Now, what are you currently backpacking and camping in? What are you hammock camping in?
So I hammock in a do-it-yourself tablecloth hammock. And I've been using that. We started out in Enos, mm-hmm. and still have our Enos and love them. And we use those on day hikes, you know, and take little naps and stuff like that. But I moved into a tablecloth hammock and I haven't seen any need to upgrade or move to anything from that personally, because I sleep great in that thing. So I'm going to keep on using that until it doesn't work anymore.
That's great. So you basically, you needed the extra length.
A little bit longer was a little more comfortable, but, you know, a lot of guys, most people try to lay it on an angle and get a flatter lay, but it doesn't bother me to lay straight down the middle. So I just lay there like a banana and sleep fine. It's good with me.
Wow. You're like a freak of nature, man. That's awesome. And, Kathy, I saw, again, on the website, you indicated that you're a grammar school teacher.
That is correct. I teach third grade.
Wow. I have a lot of respect for that. I don't even think I like my own kids that much when they were that old.
Oh, well, you should try having 23 of them all day.
I'm gonna assume that quantity is probably better than quality.
Well, I have quantity and I would say I have a good quality relationship with each of them too. So
that's great. That's awesome. And what are you camping in?
I typically use a tablecloth hammock also, like John does with the whoopee slings.
Okay.
But I'm currently, he just recently bought me a War Bonnet Ridge Runner bridge hammock.
Wow.
So I've only slept in it once. I'm not really sure yet how I feel about it. So I would say that the jury's still out on that one.
Okay.
There are features about it that I really like. I love all of the storage options and the built-in bug net. I'm not sure that I'm as comfortable sleeping on a bridge hammock as I am sleeping in the tablecloth hammock, though.
That's really interesting, because the war bonnets are kind of a Cadillac. I know. John must really like you.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, he's made one for me and bought me two others, so I have three different hammocks that I use.
Nice.
Yes. I'm spoiled.
Indeed. The two of you have been working together on a website. Our listeners can find it. It's at couchtotrail.wordpress.com. What does couch to trail mean?
Well, for me, couch to trail means moving from a sedentary lifestyle to a more active one, preferably outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
John and I, we have spent too much of our married life coming home from work and then spending the rest of the evening on the couch watching TV. You know, on the weekends, we would do things together as a family, but it was never really anything that required much physical stamina. So we found ourselves getting bigger and bigger and feeling more and more sluggish. And recently, a few years ago, we started attending a new church, and there was a couple there in their 70s. And we were so impressed with their active lifestyle. And so we began to reflect on our own sedentary ones. And so we made a decision to make a change. And so they were, and they continue to be our inspiration. So they're the reason why we started getting out and bicycling and hiking.
Okay. And the cycling was like probably all just day cycling? You didn't do any bikepacking or anything like that?
No, we did not. We started with our bicycles. But the problem is we live in a highly populated area.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to find bike trails that don't cross major roads.
Mm, okay. And
neither one of us are mountain bikers, so that's not really an option for us. We do, however, have access to local hiking trails and are relatively close to the North Georgia Mountains. So we began hiking. So we've always enjoyed hiking, but I had never hiked more than 5 or 6 miles with John, and we never really hiked regularly. So my first backpacking trip didn't happen until April of 2016.
Hmm.
And I had never had any interest in camping out until that point. And I'm not really sure what the change was, except that I was really enjoying my time hiking with John. And it was and is a wonderful bonding experience for us. And I guess I was just ready to take our hiking to the next level.
That's pretty cool. It's different than cycling, because when you're cycling, you're not as much together, are you?
No, you're not. And you can't really talk to each other as much. So that's what I prefer about the hiking, because we can talk and engage more with each other than we can when we're cycling.
Yeah. My wife and I got very frustrated with that. And we ended up getting a tandem. And that is an amazing experience. If you ever get a chance to try that, if you still enjoy cycling.
We do enjoy it. It's just, as you said, it's a little bit harder to interact with each other.
Yep.
Never tried a tandem bike before. That's a thought.
It's great. It's great.
I've seen those, but there's like she said, there's not a lot of places I'd want to ride it around here. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to road ride on a tandem just around here, just because people are crazy out on the roads. So we've had some hairy experiences out just riding our bicycles.
Yeah, I acknowledge that. People, I think it may be people in the United States, because we've seen it all over the place where, you know, people don't really do a good job recognizing cyclists as people who are participating in the driving experience.
Right. So we're just not crazy about the whole road cycling experience.
Got it. Great. Well, what I'd like to do is I'd like to ask you guys if you'd like to have a little fun on this podcast today.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So I when I was reading your blog, one of the things I thought was really cool was how both of you shared your own experiences, your shared experiences from your own perspective.
Right.
And so I thought it might be fun to ask you some questions, kind of like the dating game style, where I'll ask the question or Mark will ask the question. One of you will answer for the other one, and then we'll see how close you got.
Okay.
How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Let's do it.
All right. So what we're going to do, Mark is going to start by asking John the
yes.
first question that we've got on our outline, which we just shared with you. And John, you'll answer, and then Kathy will tell us how well you did.
Okay.
All right, first one. So this one for John starting. What's the best way to get your spouse on the trail if they haven't backpacked before?
Okay, so the first thing and one of the most important, the first two things are the most important things. The first thing is patience, and the second thing is humility. So so you have to be patient trying to bring, you know, somebody that's never done something before and bring them along and get them into, worked into, you know, the whole experience. And you just have to be, you just have to sort of try to teach them and not teach them as somebody who knows everything, because I don't know everything about hiking and backpacking. Kathy and I are basically learning together. So you have to be humble about it too. It's not like, you know, you can't come across like you, okay, this is how you do it because this is how I do it and it's my way or the highway. You've got to recognize that everybody has their own style and everybody has to search and find a way that works for them. So patience and humility are the most important things. And then I would say for somebody who's never done it before, start slowly with short, easy hikes to beautiful destinations and then build up from there.
So Kathy, when you guys started or, you know, decided you want to get into backpacking and hiking and stuff, was there any pushback on your end where you weren't into it, or were you all in with John?
Surprisingly, I was all in when he approached me and asked if I'd like to go backpacking with him, because I had never been interested in it ever throughout our marriage until he came to me in, I guess it was the beginning of 2016, was the first time he asked me seriously if I would go backpacking and camping with him. And yes, I would say I was all in at that point.
Oh, that's great. It makes it a little easier and more enjoyable when both parties are all in for that.
It definitely helps.
Yes, it does.
So the next question, Kathy.
Yes.
This one's for you. When the two of you as a couple are planning an upcoming outing, what do you think that John is looking forward to most on your upcoming backpacking trip?
All right. Well, hands down, John looks for a challenging experience. He loves bushwhacking, scrambling over boulders, and climbing up steep inclines.
Wow.
So more challenging, the better for him, which is how I gave him his trail name. I call him Schwack because he loves to bushwhack.
Got it. So it's not the sound of the limb striking you after.
No. No, just short for bushwhacking, because that's one of his favorite things to do.
Okay. And so, John, is Kathy right? Is that what you're really looking forward to the most?
She is right. She's not into that kind of thing. So when we have a, you know, when we're hiking together or backpacking together, I don't look for those kinds of things to do because I know that she doesn't enjoy that. But yeah, I love doing that kind of stuff, man. That's the kind of stuff that I really like to get out there and do for sure.
That's really cool. What do you look forward to, Kathy?
I'm more of the person who likes the views along the way, whether it's the vistas or the waterfalls, the wildflowers, or even the animals. But I also enjoy the sense of accomplishing a challenging hike. Now, my definition of challenging and his are two different things. I don't like bushwhacking and scrambling over boulders, but just knowing that I've done a difficult hike and did it well, that makes me feel good.
Very cool. Thank you.
John, in your couple of years that you've been backpacking and spending the nights outdoors, what's Kathy's worst experience so far camping and out on the trail?
Okay, so we have I have a couple of different possibilities, but I'm going to go with the one that I think she's going to say is the worst. So we did a three-day trip on the Appalachian Trail a couple of years ago. And the second day we got up and we got off to a rocky start that day. I got up with a sort of a bad attitude and it bled into her attitude. And it was a long day of hiking. We hiked, I can't remember. It was 12, 13 miles, whatever it was.
It was a long day.
It was a long day. And we got to where we were planning on camping, and there were people there, and they were like being loud and yelling. And we just didn't feel like we could stay there with them because they wouldn't make great camping partners. But we did have to stop and get some water there. And the whole, filtering of the water was, a monumental headache, but we finally got that done, and we had to keep hiking down the trail. But when you hit water, you've got to hike uphill. So we had to load up with all that water and hike uphill to to dry camp. And I had let my frustration get the best of me, and that's never good for Kathy's attitude either. So we did finally find a camping spot on top of one of the next hilltops. And stopped there to camp. And by the time we set up camp and ate and everything, it was already dark. So we got in our hammocks, and by the time we got in our hammocks, it started thundering. So we had our tarp up, and we were hanging double with the Dutch spreader bars, the double hang. And it's really hard to get good coverage when you're doing that. And we had it, even though we had a Kelty Noah's tarp, it was a 12-foot tarp. It's just hard to cover everything. So it starts raining, and who's getting wet but Kathy? her underquilt starts getting wet, and she's frustrated, and she jumped out of her hammock and started adjusting the tarp to get it, get a little bit better coverage. And she got it. She did get it fixed, but she got wet in the process. And man, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back, and she was not happy that night. And I would say that was her worst. And there was a close second time, probably, when she got stung over 30 times by yellow jackets on another trip.
Oh, <so. laughs> that's rough.
But if I had to guess, I'd say she'd say that one day was her worst day camping.
Kathy, you have to go along with that, or is there one that's worse than that?
And no, he actually hit the nail on the head. That is exactly the moment that I would choose as my worst camping experience. Yes.
Yeah, getting wet's always tough.
Yeah, nobody likes that.
It was just a really long day leading up to that, and like he said, our attitudes were already kind of out of whack, so it didn't help.
Oh man! And then, Kath, how about John's worst experience?
Oh, John's worst experience. I would say that his worst experience is seeing me miserable. And so saying that, the story that he just told, he saw me really miserable that day. So I would say that that was probably also his worst experience camping out, just because I was not happy at all that evening, and I was crying, and he doesn't like to see me that way. So I would say that that was also his worst.
John, you have to go along with that?
Yeah, she's right. when you're close to somebody, and it doesn't matter if you're camping or what you're doing, but when you're close to somebody, your moods can infect each other. Mm-hmm. And your mood, they impact the other person's experience. Mm-hmm. And I felt really bad that night because I'm the one that set the tarp up, so it was my fault she was getting wet in the first place. And not only that, but just the whole day was somewhat of a fiasco. So yeah, it was a challenging day, and I felt really bad for her, and then I felt sorry for me. You know how it goes. Yep.
So we had a pity party that night.
We did.
Well, it's a big. I mean, that's another big challenge when there's a couple hiking and camping, and something comes up like bad weather or cold temperatures or something, where it doesn't really just affect one person. One, if it's two just regular friends or something, one, it might not affect them as much.
Right.
But when you have somebody, you know, a your significant other with you, their miserableness can affect you just as much as it's affecting them.
That's right.
That's true.
If I'm out with a buddy and he's getting wet, I'm just going to laugh at him.
That's your best experience ever.
But you can't just laugh at your wife, though. You get in trouble for that.
Big time. Her couple hours of misery turns into your couple weeks of misery.
It could very well have, yes, sir.
Happy wife equals happy life.
All right. So, Kathy, my turn.
Okay.
So, what do you think has been John's best experience camping?
I'm probably just going to give you a general answer instead of a very specific moment. But I would say that in general, John's best camping experience is when we have completed a difficult hike and his wife, although she is tired, is still happy by the end of it.
John?
Yes, I'd say in general, that's accurate. I would say on that same trip, the trip as a whole, once we completed it, and, you know, I was so proud of Kathy for she was outside her comfort zone and she stuck in there. She was a trooper. She hiked a mile. She did everything we needed to do. And even though we had that bad day, she, you know, she's the one that got out and took care of the tarp and got herself dry. So she was self-reliant. And even though that was a bad day in the moment, it was something to look back on. And I was proud of her for it. And I think she was pleased with herself for being able to take care of it. And so not just the bad experiences, but the whole hike in general, I think I felt really good about that. So I would say that, but yeah, she's right. If we complete a hike or a camping trip and she had a good time, then that's a great time.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, John, what do you think Kathy's best experience has been?
I would say the same trip and for the same reasons. So I'll ask her to say about that.
Okay, well, I actually have a different answer for that one. As I answer this, you're going to think that I'm telling you about my worst experience, but I have to explain the bad part to get to the good part.
Okay.
So with that being said, the best camping experience I've had was a time when we went to the Cajada Wilderness. It started off really rough. I had left work early on a Friday afternoon so we could make it to our destination early enough to hike out to our campsite. The trail had several crossings along the Conasauga River, and John was hiking about 20 feet ahead of me. He and our dogs were crossing the river when I reached the bank, and suddenly I felt this warm yet extremely painful sensation moving from my lower legs up my body. I thought I had gotten into fire ants, and I began screaming. It turns out I was in a swarm of yellow jackets, and I was in the water, and all I could think to do was just sink down in the water. So John came back across to get me, which was both a good thing and a bad thing. It was bad because he got stung too, but it was good because my pack was so full of water that I couldn't stand back up.
Oh, gosh.
So he helped me get back on my feet and get across the river away from the yellow jacket nest. And once he got me to the other side of the trail, he gave me some Benadryl and some ointment for my 30-plus stings and asked me if I wanted to turn around and go home. I told him that as long as I didn't have a bad allergic reaction, that I would rather continue on. I knew that I would be in just as much pain at home as I would be on the trail. So once a little time had passed and there was no allergic reaction, we decided to continue on. So you're probably wondering what makes this my favorite experience. And the answer is what came next. So further down the trail, John suddenly froze and then he began to take slow steps backwards. I was afraid he had found another yellow jacket nest, but he turned and he said, "Bears." And sure enough, there were two bear cubs up in the tree. And the problem was we didn't know where Mama Bear was. So we backed away from them and started talking really loudly in hopes that we would give her some time to get her cubs and skedaddle out of there. This was special for me because it's the only time I've ever seen a bear on the trail. But it was also the best camping experience because I was able to push through the pain and the discomfort of all of those yellow jacket stings and finish the camping trip with a really positive attitude. So while it started off really rough, it really was one of our more enjoyable times, I would say. And we ended up having a great time the rest of the trip. So it's just those yellow jacket stings were really terrible. But once we got past that, we were okay.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, that's four questions. You got four right, and John got three right. So I have to say, you win.
Yay.
Congratulations.
John, we've seen more and more videos on your YouTube channel and how-to content. Will we see more posts from the two of you together in this format?
Yeah, we're hoping to do more of the he said, she said blog posts. We generally do those when we've taken a good trip. So we hope to be able to get back to taking a trip soon and extending our Appalachian Trail adventure farther north. We're into North Carolina now and hope to push further into North Carolina and blog about that, you know, in the format that we started in, the he said, she said format.
Oh, great, great. Now, going along with that, what made you guys decide to do these types of videos together and co-author the posts?
Well, the blog originally was Kathy's idea. Mm-hmm. And when we started posting about our outdoors adventures and stuff, it was really sort of organic. We just sort of started, you know, blogging from each of our perspectives of because Kathy was new to it and everything. So, well, we were both new to it, but Kathy as a female was new to it. And she wanted, you know, to give her point of view as a female that's new to all this kind of, outdoor stuff in case other people were interested in starting to try to do things like this or, getting outdoors more, et cetera, which is why we do the whole blog in the first place. Just hopefully, you know, inspire one other person to get into it. So it just sort of happened that way. I can't really, you know, take any kind of credit for it. It just sort of was an organic thing. It's just been especially hard for Kathy during the school year. Her time is so much taken up with teaching because there's not just the teaching, but there's the grading and there's all the paperwork that has to be done. And I mean, she literally works on it from sun up to sundown practically every day. So it's really hard for her during the school year to do these kind, you know, take care of her classroom and everything associated and also extracurricular stuff like the blog.
Yeah. I'd like to follow up on that. What advice, and I guess this is to either of you, or both, what advice would you give folks who are thinking of getting started in camping, especially as a couple? I think this is kind of a unique experience for us to speak to you, you know, because there's definitely lots of folks out there who are backpacking, but you guys started it a little bit later in life, it seems, and it seems like you kind of took to it more passionately. And, you know, what would you say to somebody who, you know, wanted to encourage their spouse or a couple that was thinking about doing it but wasn't sure how to get started?
I would go back to how I answered Mark earlier, you know, be patient. So especially if you have one spouse that has experience and one spouse that doesn't, be patient in introducing the concept, be patient in, you know, gearing up for it, do your research and start small and start slow. Maybe start with a car camping trip or start with a shorter hike. Like I said, a shorter hike to a beautiful spot. And just, you know, that's sort of how we became enthralled with it anyway. It's just hiking out and seeing waterfalls or hiking up to a short hike up to a mountaintop and seeing a beautiful vista, you know. Once you see that a couple of times, you're hooked and you just want to see more and more of it. So, and the best way to see more and more of it is to get out and hike a trail like the Appalachian Trail or another one of the long trails where, you know, you hike for a long time through the woods, but then all of a sudden you see this grand vista and just ridge after ridge of beautiful mountains and stuff. So start small and And another thing I would say is condition, because it is not easy, especially if you have a backpack on. It's not easy pounding up and down them hills. So you want to start walking, and if you can, you know, do some cardio in a gym, whatever you can think of. Just about any exercise will help you out, but you definitely want to do some walking and some cardio to enhance your outdoors experience.
Awesome. That's really cool. Kathy, would you add anything to that?
I would just recommend that when you're doing the conditioning, that you do it as a team, that you do it together, because I have found that us conditioning together has been part of our bonding experience. So I would recommend, instead of doing it separately. Now, if you have to do it separately, that's fine. But to me, being able to, go to Kennesaw Mountain, which is near our house, and being able to hike the trails over there as part of our conditioning, or going to the gym together and working out together, walking around our neighborhood together, that just makes it even better. I think that the views along the way on a hike are, that's a great payoff, the vistas that he was talking about. But I think that the biggest payoff is really the quality of time that you spend together with your spouse. So as much as you can get with each other is great.
That's very cool. Now, one of the things I like to kind of ask all our guests as we're kind of closing out this part of the interview is this, it's my one thing question. So bear with me. I'm going to ask you guys too. It doesn't have to be hiking or backpacking or hammock related. If you could, what's the one thing that each of you would teach the world if you could, or share with the world, or tell the world?
I would say that John and I are both big believers in the leave no trace principles. Mm-hmm. And I would love to teach people to embrace this way of thinking so that we can all just learn to be good stewards of the beautiful world that was created for us.
That's awesome. John?
Especially when it comes to packing out your trash.
Oh gosh, yeah.
It just burns me up to get out there, you're way out in the woods and just somebody's left a big mess out there. And we do try to clean up what we can when we can, but you can never get it all. So yeah, pack out your trash.
Don't be a slob.
So we usually like to end up the interview with a little roundtable discussion where we all give our views on a different topic that I throw out there. So Kathy, we'll start off with you. So after we've done our hike, you started, got up early and hiked all day, ran away from bees, tried not to fall in the stream. We get everything set up.
Already.
We got everything set up, dinner's all down, we're all set. What do you do for your downtime before you actually go to bed?
Usually I will have my phone with me, and I do have my Kindle downloaded on my phone. So usually for me, I do have to turn my brain off by reading a little bit. So I will read whatever I have downloaded to my Kindle app at the time.
Okay.
And
what are you reading?
What am I currently reading? I'm trying to think of the name of the book. I'm not good with titles of books. I just get so involved in the story that I forget what the name of the book is that I'm reading.
Me too.
Yeah, I can't even think of the title of it right now. Sorry.
John, how about you? After a day of hiking or camping, what do you like to do to unwind before you actually go to bed?
Well, I'll tell you, most of our trips, by the time we've eaten dinner and gotten in our hammocks, I'm done. But we have had a couple of trips that have been a little bit more relaxing, and we do both like to have a little campfire if there's time for it, and we have enough energy to, gather wood and everything. So a little, little hiker TV, that's always nice if we have the time and energy to do it.
Cool. How about you, Mark?
To be honest, I'm the same as what John just said. Usually, if we do have a fire, I like hanging around by the fire for a little bit if there's a group of us. But after that, once we all retire to our hammocks, I just get everything situated for night, everything for the morning and all. And then once I get in the hammock, I've tried watching, you know, having videos on my phone or using my, you know, I like using my hang time hook and reading, but I'm almost the opposite. I can't do that to unwind. I'm basically, once I hit the hammock, I'm pretty much going to bed. I can't really, you know, I've tried reading books on my phone and stuff through the Kindle app, but I really can't do that. I've gotten a few pages in and I lose concentration and I can't follow the book. So I just go to bed. So that's what I do. And Jonathan, why don't you finish up for us?
Okay. Well, I'm actually in Kathy's camp. I've usually got a book or two on my mobile phone, again, on my Kindle app or Google Books or whatever. I've usually got a couple of books that I'm in the middle of. So I'll pick one that I want to read and keep moving it forward. I've always been an avid reader since I was a little kid, and I just kind of love getting into whatever the story is, and I'll spend a couple hours doing that usually and stay up later than I should. Yeah. So John and Kathy, first off, thank you both so much for coming and sharing your experiences on the podcast.
We really appreciate you having us on.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
It was a lot of fun. It was kind of cool to have you both kind of share your experience about what you've done and where you've been, and to give some advice to folks out there who are listening or trying to figure out, you know, what's my next step, or especially how do I get my significant other to join me out on the trail. There's nothing more fun than to kind of have that shared experience. So it was really special to have you both on.
Thank you so much.
So Mark, in the beginning of summer, I know a lot of people are thinking about how warm it is and how pleasant it is to set up a hammock in their backyard. Thought it might be fun to maybe just do like a quick PSA about what you got to do to set yourself up in the backyard for a backyard hang.
Yeah, it's a big challenge for some of us that live in the suburbs or that don't have trees in their backyard. And we still want to hang because it's a great place to test gear, and especially in the winter time when you don't want to be out in the middle of the woods when it's 5 degrees out and realize that your 40 degree underquilt just isn't going to cut it.
You don't
have a place to bail to.
Absolutely. Being able to bail is the best way to test out gear and stuff like that. And know, you know, and if you got to bail at 3 a.m, you know, going inside and snuggling back up in the bed is a great way to deal with that.
Yeah, especially then if you don't have to hike 5 miles to your car or 10 miles to your car.
It's a good way to warm up, though.
Yeah.
Well, first thing, I guess, if you're planning on hanging in your backyard, the first thing to do is definitely have a place to hang. And a lot of us don't have trees. The distance between whatever you're hanging ought to be somewhere around 3 meters or 12 feet. So finding two trees is the simplest way to do that. But if you don't, you can still do it either with a hammock stand or, as we're going to talk about today, actually placing posts in the ground and setting up your own hanging space.
Yeah, that's a big thing because you definitely want to, you know, it's going to be a project to install the posts. And, you know, for safety and just time, you want to do it right the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if somebody wanted to do this, what size posts do you think they should start with?
Well, you definitely don't want to do any 2x4s. from what I've read, I'm pretty sure it was like a 4x6 or a 6x6.
Yeah, I would probably go with that too. A minimum of 4x4s. But thinking about the stress and especially the possibility that you aren't the only one who's going to be on those posts, the 4x6 with the 6-inch dimension aligned with the direction of the hang would make sense, or a pair of 6x6s would be even better in terms of something that would be strong enough to support somebody who's even doing a little bit of bouncing on their hammocks or, you know, being silly. The last thing you want to do is build something in your backyard that's going to kill your nephew.
Yeah, that's always bad.
Absolutely. So knowing that we're going to do this about 12 feet apart, like I said, or about 3 meters par. The next thing to do is to dig a pair of holes at that distance. And keeping in mind the frost line, probably about a meter deep, or, you know, that again, that's 3 feet to 4 feet deep, so that the bottom of the pole is below the frost line and can't be heaved up.
And that also makes, you know, this is also something that would be regional, because when you're farther up north, you're going to have a deeper frost line than mm-hmm. somebody a little bit farther down south. And then, you know, it's something also to take into account what type of soil you're going into, whether it's really sandy or, you know, rocky and clay. Like we've got, you know, here we've got 2 inches of topsoil and God knows how deep of solid clay.
Clay to China.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So knowing how deep your frost line is here in the Northeast, the frost line is about 12 to 16 inches down, or, you know, about a third of a meter, somewhere between a third and a half a meter deep. But like you said, you go farther north, your frost line is definitely going to be deeper. And that frost line is what determines whether or not something is going to be heaved back up out of the ground over a couple of seasons.
Yep.
And then how high do we do the posts then, knowing that we're about 12 feet apart?
You definitely want to make sure you've got enough height. So probably about 8 feet above ground.
Okay. And for those of us in civilized countries, how high is that?
Oh, jeez. Around 2.5 meters.
Yeah, I'd say probably. I started in school as a scientist, so I prefer to think in metric, but I know most of the people I know don't like to, so sorry to put you on the spot there, buddy.
It's okay.
So the last part is you've got some holes that have been dug, and mm-hmm. you've got some posts that are plenty long, so they're probably 8 feet above the ground and 3 to 4 feet below the ground. So these are a couple of really long posts that you've placed in the ground. You know, what's the next step in terms of making sure those posts are solid and stable on the ground?
Well, you're going to want to put something down there to set them in place so they're not going to move. Mm-hmm. Something like, I don't know, maybe like concrete?
Concrete, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd probably even post or tilt the posts out slightly from the center mm-hmm. so that any stresses, you know, brings them to a vertical position as opposed to having them start at a vertical position and then tilt slightly inward.
Yeah. So you actually not, you know, you palm them up and then actually tilt them out just a little bit so they're not perfectly plumb when you're actually setting them in place.
Yep. Absolutely. You know what I think would be is funny? I would definitely not recommend this. I saw this on Facebook for a hammock post. Is this kit you can get at Home Depot for like a it's essentially a self-expanding foam, like the good stuff,
yep.
crack filler foam that you can use for post holes.
Yep. Yeah, and if anybody hasn't heard that, I've been seeing it too, and I've actually been getting quite a few emails about this stuff as well. You know, being in construction, it is becoming popular, where basically it's a bag that you cut open, you pour it into the post hole, it expands like you said, and it advertises that if you're, say, building a fence, you set your post, you can pour this stuff in, and I believe within like 60 to 90 minutes, it's ready for installing the rest of the actual fencing.
Fully cured. Yeah, it's like it's probably the self-expanding two-part foam.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. So I wouldn't think it would be a good idea to put the kind of stresses that we're putting on hammock posts against that kind of product though. That's essentially a closed-cell foam.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen this stuff yet. I've never purchased any, but mm-hmm. yeah, the, you know, you think of the stresses that's put on the post on just putting a, you know, even a 6 foot stockade fence where you've got all the bar, the wood in between them and all, there's a lot less stress on those posts compared to two posts that have your hammock and whatever size person hanging from it. So,
yep. Absolutely. And then to finish it off. Now, I know for me, I'd probably just round off the edges with a sander and use my normal, you know, straps and whoopee slings. But I know there's some kits that you can buy for, you know, putting like hanging rings. I think Dutch has one. Eno has something.
Yep.
I know for the kids and for my office, I actually have rings that I put in the wall and the 2x4 studs. Those do a pretty good job supporting my hammock. So I don't know what you would put into those before you know, to support your hammock, if you'd just go around the post or if you'd use rings.
I think it's really a personal preference. One nice thing I know, seeing the set that Dutch has on his website, is once you install them, they're actually adjustable. So you can adjust the heights. It might have like a 8-inch variance where you can raise it and lower it. So, which is convenient. So, you know, if you get a couple, two or three different people that are going to be using the same posts and you want to adjust the height of the hammock, that's nice. If not, yeah, they've even got the heavy duty eye bolts that you can purchase, you know, same thing at Home Depot. So, or any of the home centers. So,
yeah, I'm trying to find it on the website right now. I will include a link to it because I don't even know what he calls it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I'll track it down on his website and I'll add a link to it in our show notes so that people can find it. Oh, here we go. The adjustable wall mm-hmm. anchor. You buy it as a pair. So I'm not going to put the price out there because he can change it anytime he wants. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now and it does look like kind of a neat idea in terms of being more modular. It's probably nice, like if you're short, like my daughter's not nearly as tall as I am, and it would probably be nice for her to be able to drop that down and put up her own stuff.
Is the one on Dutch's site, does it show what it's made out of? I'm just thinking about attaching it to something outside.
They are made of aluminum and 12 inches in length. So aluminum will oxidize over time, but it won't rust in the same way that steel does.
Yeah.
So you'd probably be safe. Yeah. So I guess to close, I'd just say to our listeners, hey, you know, definitely this mm-hmm. is an easy weekend project. I think pretty much anybody could handle it, but, you know, definitely hang safe and don't hang any higher than you're willing to fall.
Yes. Okay, so next month we've got a great interview coming up. Getting back into the DIY part of it, we're going to be speaking with Kits App Cowboy.
I think that's right. I'm not sure. We'll find out next month.
Yeah, he can. That can let us know the correct pronunciation of the screen name. And Jellyfish from the Hammock Forums and YouTube, and just talking about building our own gear and the DIY aspect of hammock camping. Should be really interesting getting their perspective. I know they're very active on the forums with the doing the DIY and sewing and putting your own kits together.
Yeah, that's very cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, it's Jonathan. So we've got some comments on forums and iTunes this month. Starting off with iTunes, we had a comment from MVSat, and he says, "Have listened to a few episodes so far and have really enjoyed each one. Interesting to meet some of the people on the leading edge of hammock camping and hear in-depth interviews with them. I like the format with a longer topic and then a few shorter ones. A great addition to hammock forums for information and perspective. A nice substitute for actually getting out on the trail." Well, thanks for listening.
I think we do it for the same reason. We don't get on the trail enough.
Yeah, it is tough, and it is a good time, you know, doing these interviews and, you know, between spending time on the forums and YouTube and actually being able to speak to the different people and manufacturers. So it's been a lot of fun. So, and then next we have a post on the hammock forums from Unstuck, and this is in response to our second Derek Hansen episode. And Unstuck says, Great episode, guys. I just started listening to the podcast. I really have to pick up the ultimate hang, don't I? And he also says, any hangs planned in the Buffalo area? I'm in Toronto, but I wouldn't find anything resembling a community here. Well, thanks for starting to listen to us. And we've been actually kicking around ideas for doing something, not just in Buffalo, but maybe, you know, Western New York. I know there's a lot of hangers around us and then down in the South towns, which from people not from Western New York, that's just south of Buffalo, close to where the Bills play and Allegheny State Park, which ties into Allegheny National Forest. And then going east in Rochester and even into central New York. So, you know, if anybody has any ideas on putting something together, some dates or where to go, we're always interested in it. It's the usual time issues always.
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to take the bull by the horns and arrange a group hang up here in Western New York at some point.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun. If anybody hasn't been to a group hang, you know, really my only one was when we went to HangCon this past January. And you know, we really jumped right into that one with being my first hang. And it was a load of fun. I mean, it was really great with meeting everybody, putting faces to their screen names and everything on the forums, and just talking gear and just talking anything and meeting everybody. I'm definitely up for doing another hang.
All right. So a couple of just administrivia. One thing is I wanted to remind all of our listeners out there who may have started coming up with some ideas. We've got a giveaway coming up, two signed copies of The Ultimate Hang from Derek Hansen, which is very generous, plus an illustration that's custom driven for your helpful hint. So if you've got a helpful hint or a cool way of doing things that you're really proud of, send it in to me or Mark. We'll share it with Derek. He's going to help us with the judging, and there will be two lucky winners that we'll reveal on our podcast episode that we release in September. So that's going to be released on September 10th. Also, a second follow-up, speaking of our interview with Derek Hansen, the Fox 21 station in Colorado actually did do a follow-up interview, and they did an amazing job. I'll link to that in our show notes for any of our listeners who might have missed it when they were on the forum or whatever. But apparently they were blown away by the number of people who were advocating for responsible hammock camping. And they actually found a local outfitter, Lauren Kofsky, to help out and do an interview. So like I said, I'll include a link to that in the show notes so that you can go and check out that video for yourself. And of course, thanks to the Fox 21 station that actually did that.
All right. And then we'd like to give a thanks to Daniel Snyder for his donation to the podcast via PayPal. Jonathan and I are planning on getting a couple of coffees for that. And then a big thanks coming from Sector 7. Shug said, "Woo, buddy fellers." Thank you, Shug, for your donation as well. We're so glad you enjoy the show, and John's getting a couple of apple fritters for that one.
Yeah, we really appreciate it when somebody pitches in a little bit to help pay for some of our expenses or frankly, to buy me a couple apple fritters because they're really good.
And finally, thanks to all our donors that we've had in the past. As you know, producing and hosting a podcast isn't free, so every little bit counts. Check out our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/HYOH podcast, or if you're a cottage vendor, consider promoting your product on our podcast for a few months. As always, you can find us at HYOHpodcast.com or on our Facebook page at HYOHpodcast. If you like what you hear, please give us a positive review on iTunes, or even better, you can buy us a cup of coffee by going directly to HYOHpodcast.com/donate and making a one-time donation.
Right. Don't forget to tell all your friends about us as well. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. We're out there and we love to have you listen to our awesome interviews.
As always, if you want to comment or have a question, please visit our Facebook page, or you can send me an email at mark@hyohpodcast.com.
Yeah. And me at Jonathan at HYOHpodcast.com. Finally, special thanks to Skid Von Ark for allowing us to use his music for our intro and our outro, and to ITX for hosting our podcast. Thanks everyone else for hanging around. A thin piece of fabric suspended in the air. Should I even try it? Or should you even dare? Had two straps and a couple of toggles. How this would even work, my mind began to boggle. Yeah.